Champ, Bo, back with the footy this week. Now, I want to give a shout-out straight away to the Redfern All Blacks. I'm coaching down there in A-grade. Redfern All Blacks is one of the biggest growth clubs in the country at the moment. What? 134 new registrations for this year and leading the club championships down there at the South Juniors competition. Yeah. And all of our senior teams are at the top of the ladder at so far, halfway through the season. But you guys got a couple of shout-outs too, Champ?
Yeah, that was awesome. Our under-16s and 14s Kempsey Dragons girls, I mentioned last week on the show, they were going down to the Women's Origin. The girls had a great time down there. Really well received from Krista and Simone. The community got behind it. It was great, a great experience and something that I think the young girls will really help them in their progress, not just with their football, but away from football as well. So it was fantastic.
Yeah, Dino, I just want to give a shout-out to Nettie Walker, who's obviously my son's best friend, but he is the child of the great netballer Katie Walker and of course, Shane Walker, NRL player. He had a really bad accident this year, a scooter accident, which left him with quite a bad severe head injury. But he's come back and he played his first game of league on the weekend, so big shout-out to Nettie.
Yes, big shout-out there to everyone there who's doing fantastic stuff in the Rugby League Circle. Now, I'll tell you who's doing fantastic stuff, and I'm wearing the colours today. It's our New South Wales Blues up there in the Men's Origin Game 1, 18-6 winners, Bo. Tell us about the game. What happened? What happened?
Firstly, this is a stitch-up, by the way, wearing this colour. But look, it was hard to watch, but there wasn't a lot of Origin. You know the atmosphere you feel, especially at Origin time? In Queensland, at Suncorp, no build-up, I felt. Like a couple of little pubs might have had a few things here and there. Not a lot of build-up to it. Hard game to obviously to watch. And, I just don't think they played with the Maroon spirit that they usually do. But, we'll see next game.
There's a lot of talk about the fire that Queensland usually have, particularly at Suncorp, particularly game one, when they've been written off and they're underdogs. But you look at the fact they didn't kick the Spencer Lenu after all the talk, all the crap they talked all week about going to bash Spencer. And Queensland, off the kickoff, Mitch Barnett gets a pretty soft tackle. Mm. New South Wales goes 60 metres right from the start. Yeah. The game just didn't have any of that fire. Are Queensland lacking in that space?
It was uncharacteristic, Dino, the whole performance. Look, going into the game, I think everyone had sort of looked at the New South Wales team and besides it being at Queensland, they thought it was, you know, pretty much dominant compared to the Queensland team. Look, I think New South Wales could have played even better. There is some, obviously, discussions around changes. Mm. I think they're doomed if they do, doomed if they don't. Our forward pack is just superior. We've got the two best halves and we've got the best outside back. So I think everyone was hoping that Queensland spirit and that sort of stadium would make the game closer. But I think after you've seen about, 15, 20 minutes, it was inevitable, the result in the end.
The big characters in the game, the arrogant ones, the ones they love to hate, I think they're all on the blue side. Spencer Lenu is now a big character. Latrell Mitchell is a big character in the game. Nathan Cleary, what are the changes that Queensland need to make? Or are they going to settle with that same team and hope that they get a better performance, particularly out of their halves, Cherry Evans and Munster?
I think Billy, for me, like looking at that team, he picks the best players. He doesn't necessarily pick the best players for that position. Mm. So, like, he's putting Val Holmes on the wing. Which, has Val Holmes played there all year is probably the question. He's putting Hamaso in the centres. Yeah, he might have played one or two games there, but I think there needs to be a lot of changes. You don't know. I think, obviously, I've got my team, but at the end of the day, like, is Daly still up to it? And I hate to say it because he's our captain. I'm loyal to him.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a hard one. But I think there has to be some changes.
We're going to put you as the coach. So we're going to put you as the coach of Queensland and go through what your team is and the changes that you'll make. And tell us about why. You've got a great side here. I like some of the stuff that you put up.
Yeah, I'd be putting Kalen Ponga out. I definitely put Hamaso back there. You know, we know Hammer. He's your Ferrari. He is the Ferrari of that team no matter what. Yeah. And we're not skinning them down the edges. So, if you've got someone like him there being able to skin them down the edges, which we weren't doing last game, we're trying to beat him up the middle, which we can't.
Yep.
I think, he will cause some trouble on those edges. Big in for me is Xavier Savage. He's playing really well and he's young, he's enthusiastic, he's learnt over the last couple of years. Yeah, he's had some brain farts in some of his games, but who hasn't?
Yeah.
And I think the way he's playing his football at the moment, and he's a Queenslander, he's a very proud North Queenslander, I think he'll give his all. Probably another one is bringing in Papali'i. I've got a call out for Papali'i. I know he's retired from Origin, but there was just no one big, you know, that dominance, that big size in the middle. Reuben Cotter's not a back rower. Like, you know, let's bring Jaden Sewer in back. You know, he loves that Origin arena. Bring him back in. We need some mongrel in there. Who's going to handle Crichton? You know what I mean? Angus Crichton. Who's going to handle Liam Martin? So, you know, Nanai, I think he had that Origin spirit last week. Yeah. Wouldn't be moving him anywhere, but... Yeah, there's definitely a couple of changes, and I hate to say it, DCE might be the one he might have to go. You bring Dearden, start Dearden in there, and Jamal Fogarty on the bench at 14.
Yep.
He can play hooker as well, so he can sub in for Harry Grant. So I've probably gone a little bit around the positions there, but I think some changes need to be made, Dino. And I know you might have a bit of a different story with that, Bo. But yeah,
One you didn't mention there, you had Jamal Fogarty, and I think that's a great
season. Yes.
And DCE, great player, great leader for Queensland, but he's the oldest player that's ever played Origin. Mm. Father Time always comes on him. What about you, champ?
Yeah, it does. Look, I like a lot of them changes. I just think that with Queensland, look, you're beaten in the forward pack. That's the main thing. You can change your halves, you can change this, you can change that, the forward pack. And unfortunately, going into the second game, I actually like the Papali'i one. It's just whether he wants to do it or not.
Mm.
I think making all them changes going into into one of the biggest games probably of the series and with the lack of experience, what I would do, and I think what Billy Slater would do, is he'll keep it pretty much the same. I love the Tabuai Fido move to fullback, because on that left-hand side, Crichton, you're not going to get past Crichton.
No,
If you're not winning the middle of the ruck and they're getting too much time around Hamaso, it's going to be too hard for Hamaso.
Mm.
I think what they'll do in the second game, they might move Ponga, but they'll keep the halves the same. They'll, again, go with a different mentality and a mentality which, you know, they probably didn't show in game one. If it does, if they do get beat, which I think they will, which is inevitable, I think that's when they'll blow it up. Because if you go into game two and you make five changes, you know, again, you're taking a risk. It's like when you're playing against the Maroon team that won 8 series in a row. You could change this person to centre, change here, change the half, change this. You weren't beating them. So you're sort of doomed if you do, doomed if you don't. Billy Slater's a great coach and he knows what players make Origin. He's been in that arena for a long period of time. I just think blowing it up for game two is a little bit too risky. But having said that too, you don't really have much to lose.
My question is with Billy, I don't know him. You guys know him quite well. What is he going on? Is he going on form? Is he going on loyalty? What? I don't...
Consistency, work ethic.
Well, if you talk about them, we got to then look to Jamal Fogarty. If he's talking about consistency and work ethic, that bloke has... He's been consistent throughout this whole season. His team is second on the ladder.
Of course, 100%. So 100% agree.
I think, you know, being sort of out of that that arena, I'm an outsider looking in once again, and I go, how do you not put Jamal Fogarty in this team? Yep.
Mm.
Like, even if he's coming off the bench, I don't care whether he's starting half, he's got to be in there somewhere. And then you've got the X factor of Xavier Savage.
Yeah.
Remember, this team, that Raiders team is... top two in our competition right now. So that's my team. And Coach Delacruz, Coach Bose.
I like it. Pick players from the top team and Jamal Fogarty's definitely. Mm-hmm. Now, some good news for you was the women's team.
Yes, they did.
I thought Ali Brigginshaw, she'll be remembered as one of the greatest women's players to play the game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she's towards the end of her career, but she really dragged this team to a win last week. And if she finishes on that note, Ali, I think it's a fantastic. But they just come out with the hunger against New South Wales. New South Wales got a bit complacent, I thought.
Yeah, and Ali took one to the team. She started on the bench as well. So that's a captain starting on the bench. So young Georgia Henaway came in. I thought the kicking game from Loz Brown, I think that was the difference. Her kicking game is... It reminds me of Jessie Southwell. They're purposeful when they're kicking. So it was good. I saw the energy. Julia Robinson, I don't know if you saw her first hit on Jess Sergis. And then I've never seen Julia like that. She's quite reserved and she's quite calm, but she was absolutely pumped. So congrats to the girls, and I'm really happy for Ali.
One thing they did remind you of is that Queensland have got this remarkable spirit to play as underdogs.
Yeah.
And they were just tough throughout the game. Some of the girls that we talked about had been missing in the first two games. Mm-hmm. They were all of a sudden come off the line hitting and smashing the New South Wales Blues.
It was a massive win because they had no Upton as well.
Mm.
I thought New South Wales blew this opportunity. Give full credit to Queensland for turning up and trying, but leading by 8 points with 20 to go in your home arena, I thought they missed a lot of opportunities in that right-hand side. I know that one time Sergis went through and scored pretty easily, but, you know, trying to throw the cutout ball to Chapman just allowed Queensland's defence.
Mm.
I loved how New South Wales restricted Queensland, but then just, again, give penalties and let them off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
We said last week, we said, like, this was the game that Queensland had to stand up and show a bit of pride in the jersey, and they did. Mm-hmm. To come back from 8 points down, 20 minutes to go, on the road, you've got to give them full credit, but I think it was a really big missed opportunity by New South Wales as well.
Our through-the-dot passing there, it looks like we started right at the bottom and picked two of the worst passes in the competition.
She reckons she could have got 16.
Yeah, well, you were there talking it up.
Yeah, I would have got 16, you said.
100%.
Halfway in the middle of the field, 20 metres, 30
metres
away.
Yeah, I taught them everything they know.
Nice. But they're doing well this year, the Bulldogs, so we won't rub it into the boys there too hard. Now, round 13 in the NRL, some of the results there from the weekend. Some good players, all the Origin stars back playing. I thought some of them did really well. Storm and Raiders just keep on winning their games. They've been outstanding. The Knights continue to struggle. I was impressed with the Dragons too. I think Shane Flanagan's doing an amazing job down there with them. Bo, tell us about your highlight from the weekend.
Yeah, my highlight was the Roosters-Raiders game. I, you know, without Jamal Fogarty, I thought those young fellas really, really stood up in the end. You know, you can. I love the way that they're playing at the moment. You know, they're looking for space. They've got so much space in front of them. They're skinning them easy because of the speed that they've got, you know, at fullback and out wide and their outside backs. I'm really enjoying watching them. I thought, you know, the Roosters played well, but just Raiders too good. I think they've got themselves a new fan. Yes.
Chip, what do you got?
Yeah, the weekend, Sunday. I just loved how there was three games on a Sunday. Like, it just didn't stop, you know. And all the games were competitive as well. Like, most of the games went, you know, the South game was interesting to the last sort of 5-10 minutes. Same with Penrith and Parramatta. That could have went either way. And just to finish off with a 6 o'clock game, it was something just a little bit different. So really enjoyed the round of football, even though it was Origin affected, or at least, you know, some of the players did have to back up. Yeah, but it was just exciting and good to watch, and there was some quality tries, there was exciting games, and yeah, it was like the footy of old. Mm-hmm.
Alex Johnson got 200 tries. That's a remarkable achievement. Yeah. He's the only player this century to achieve that in the NRL.
Yep.
But amazing footballer to play with. Chip, you went to school with AJ. Tell us about him. What is it about Alex Johnson?
Well, we went to the same high school, went to Endeavour Sports High, and he was actually the Ducks of the school. So he got a UAO of 97 or 98. Yep. But not just that, he was just such a remarkable football player as well. And then in 2014, when himself and Dylan Walker come on the scene at the Rabbitohs, you just knew it was something special. We had Nathan Merritt at the time, but it was like, okay, this kid's going to be the next big thing. And he's such a good individual off the field. Again, you know, really looks after himself, professional, and 12 tries away from breaking that record. So it's going to be great. Started his career out there at La Perouse, and he's had a fantastic career so far.
12 tries away from equaling, 13 to win it. Mm-hmm. Do you think he'll get there? What are your thoughts? You reckon AJ's going to get this record? Because it's played on him for a bit. And he's had injuries the last 12 months. He's been through a rough time. Yep. He's probably thought at different times, am I ever going to get there? Mm-hmm. Is it worth even chase? It can be a disruption to your football. What's your thoughts?
I think you said it, Dina. He's just got to stay injury free. And he hasn't had the luck of that in the last couple of years. You know, he is getting older, but he still can score tries. And I guess it's who they're playing as well at the end of the day in this back end of the year. I know they've got a couple of easy, well, I shouldn't say easy, but teams that are at the bottom of the ladder at the moment that they are playing against. So you just never know. He could average it out, a couple of tries a game. We just never know. But I really, really hope he does for him.
It would be fantastic. And I think the thing that does benefit him too, he's got Latrell on that side of the field who loves going to that left-hand side. And AJ can turn a half chance into a try. Or you see on the weekend that ball Latrell threw, not many other wingers would take it without having that sight. And that's just what AJ does. There's enough rounds there, and if he can score them in bunches, I reckon he's going to get it this year.
Yeah, well, good luck. All the best there to AJ. Now, Manly up against the Broncos without the Turbos on the weekend. 34-6. I don't think this is about how well Manly played. I think this is about the Broncos. There's obviously issues there with their players. You look at that roster that they have, they're a lot better team than a 34-6 loss. And they're struggling, Bo.
Yeah, they are. I don't think talent is the issue. They've got enough talent. They've got enough leadership in that squad. And it's really hard. You don't want to start on the coach. You know, Madge has only been there for this year. You know, he's done some really good things with them, but then on the flip side has not been the right thing. Like, you don't need to flog these boys to, I guess, in terms of fitness and whatever else, take them out to army camps because they're athletes. You know what I mean? In the first instance. So, yeah, it's a shame. I don't have the answer. And I don't think a lot of people do at the moment. You know, they've just got to look within themselves. You know, is it missing Reece Walsh? I'm not too sure. Selwyn Cobbo, that inconsistency at fullback. You know, that position is such a pivotal position in a team. You know, they rely on you to organise. But it's a hard one, Dino, and I really do feel for the Bronx at the moment, champ.
Yeah, I think it's a number of things. They've lost four straight games now. Mm-hmm. They come out of the blocks really strong. They had a really good preseason. You know, were pretty consistent early in the year. I think you've got to make things fun. I think you've honestly got to look at the individuals that you've got. And at the moment, 32-6 against Manly. Like, they lost last week to the Dragons. Mm-hmm. There's, when I look at it from an outside looking in, again, you know, some of the players, you know, you can keep narrowing down on, we've got to work harder, do this, do that. I think sometimes you've got to give the players a bit of a mental release and just say, look, let's go out and have a bit of fun. Because if you take that fun away from the football, especially with the individual look at, the Cobos, you know, Katoni Staggs, Mam, these are free-flowing football players. Yep. They've got two of the best forwards, two in the comp, in Carrigan and Haar. So when you look at their roster, it's a roster that anyone would want to have. So this is going to be a big test for the Broncos. They've got the Titans this week, then a bye, then three games against pretty good teams. So if they don't win this game against the Titans this week into a bye, everything will start to erupt there, because this team should be a top four, top six team every day of the week. And it's going to be a big test for Maguire now, because as we know, Brisbane, if you don't make the top eight, or you're sitting around the middle of the ruck, they'll make changes.
You can say that's been a failure, because he went there and the reason why he was chosen to go there was to give them a hard edge, to make them more resilient and to make them tough in these sort of games. That hasn't worked, because that's not a tougher Broncos, and it's not a more resilient Broncos than what we saw 12 months ago. Now, has Michael Maguire got a plan B? Has he got another option in the way that he coaches? Because it's obviously not working what his first intention was to set up there.
I think he's going to need to find it if he doesn't, because like you said, like, these boys, they're not lacking talent. Like, it's such a talented young crew. And I think, you know, we say, oh, you know, that he'll turn them into men. You know, we all had this conversation last year around him going there and go, you know, these boys are going to become these mature young men.
Yeah.
And I think it is. It's lacking the fun again. Some of them look like they don't even want to be there, you know. So plan B it is for Madge, but what does that plan B look like?
Yeah, look, the game's 80% mental, you know, and you've got to be wanting to come and excited to come. I think a lot of them players, they're just, you know, you've got to get the best out of them. And at the moment, I feel like it's, you know, they're doubling down on the same sorts of things and you're not getting a response. So sometimes when that's not working, you've got to full swing the opposite way and say, okay, let's just release the shackles and see if this will work or see if that'll work. Mm. And that'll be a big test now, because we know Madge is that sort of, you know, we doubles down and what works, and we know it does work, but you've got a lot of young individuals there who like free-flowing football. I think we've got to start to see that come out of them and their natural ability take over and them have fun, and you might see different results, because scoring 6 points on the weekend with that sort of team just isn't acceptable.
You're up there in Brisbane. Is this the worst you've ever seen the Broncos in your time?
100%. Yeah, 100% with the best team that they've possibly, you know, got. Like you said, they've got Payne Haas in there in the middle, Ezra Mam, Tony Staggs. Like, look, these guys are all Origin players, you know, or potentially Origin players. So, yeah, you can't blame the city. You can't blame the environment. It's what's going on within it internally, I think, so far, and it's got to be fixed quick.
My name is Fletcher Hunt. I'm a fullback for Newcastle Knights. Dad's side is Gumbungi. Dad's mum died when he was really young. Marnie's done a lot into it. She knows all about it. Still trying to pick pieces off her and figure out stuff. I'm from out near Warren. I've got no idea how many people live there. Not many. Yeah, I would have started under sixes, under sevens, played for Warren all the way till under 12s, 13s, and then I had to travel across to Ningen, played there. Dad was the president of Warren and me coach. I think he coached me all the way through Bulldogs. Dad, he always wanted to keep me fit. I wasn't much into the fitness. I just liked throwing the footy around a bit. He knew what was best for me. Mum was in the canteen. Mum was more than coaching Dad was, I reckon. She was the loudest one there. She was my biggest supporter. She was Warren's biggest supporter, I reckon. Coming to the Knights, it's been awesome. It's something that I'd never thought I'd actually do. This success that I'm having is more success for them than me, and I don't think I would be here without their support. I couldn't say enough to thank them. The mullet. Oh, I had a mullet when I was younger. Mum didn't like it too much, so she made me cut it off, and when I went and had short hair, I didn't like what I seen, so I had to put it back on and grow it back. I don't think I could cut it off. Definitely been a dream to come to the NRL. It's always been the only thing I wanted to do.
What a catch! What a catch from the newbie!
Mum and Dad coming down, or whole family coming down to watch me play, they're unreal.
There he is, that young man, Fletcher.
First year was last year, and I played for the year.
Fletcher Hunt there was outstanding, a real dangerous player there.
Even if the play in the knockout, then score a try in the knockout, it's crazy.
Over the Bayougal line goes there, number 22. You said player of the year at the Jersey Flag.
The team was so bonded, it was proper family side. I never played with any of the boys. They just thought I was some dad player that Ronnie had brought in.
Do you have a look at the power and the speed? Beats him with a right footstep and the palms too strong.
Oh yeah, pretty impressed, I think. I'm a teacher's aide at Whitebridge. It's so rewarding helping out the kids because you know exactly what they're thinking. You've been in that position. I know how crap school can be, but I can also know how good school can be for you. I'm a big role model for them and it's the most rewarding job I've had ever. Everything that's around the football community brings me to love the game. Not just out there scoring tries or doing all the fancy stuff, it's more behind the scenes with family and friends.
The young Fletcher Hunt, he was the one player that stood out for me at the knockout and the one player I really remembered from that. And great to see him got his debut there in round 11 at the NRL, doing fantastic things. And brother, keep that mullet because it's doing good things for you there and your mum will love it.
No. As a mum, I don't agree with that.
Anyway. Moving on, round 14 of the NRL. There's some good games coming up. The Sharks versus Warriors is going to be a great one there. Fanua Blake up against his old team. Raiders versus Rabbitohs there. Can't wait to see all the brothers there go head to head on. The Bulldogs versus the Eels. And a couple of players that I'm looking forward to watching. And we don't usually see this in our players that we highlight in the here on a dot. But the back rowers, Josh Curran up against Jermaine Hopgood. A couple of forwards there. A couple of Indigenous forwards.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to that challenge.
Sure am. And they're two similar players, Dino. Like, they're not players that are going to do a huge amount of meterage and all this sort of stuff, but they have impact on games. So there'll be, you know, a try, a big hit, and have a real impact on games, and they're very similar. I'm really loving the way Josh Curran's been playing this year. I thought, you know, Jermaine's probably form's been a little bit up and down, same with the Parramatta Eels, but I think Curran's taken that real next step. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been a consistent player, but he's really stood up this year, especially for the Doggies.
Always a big game between these two teams. A lot of rivalry, a lot of history between them. I thought Parra, they're steadily improving.
Yep.
And I think they'll be up for the big game against the Dogs. There'll be plenty written about this one, plenty of excitement.
Yep.
How do you see it going?
Yeah, for me, I think the Bulldogs have got this game all day. They're just in such good form at the moment, you know, especially through their leadership with Stephen Crichton. But in saying that, Mitch Moses, you know, coming off the back of Origin as well, you know, he's been playing some really, really good footy. You know, we know how good his kicking game is, and a lot of those Bulldogs boys don't like a lot of high balls. So,
yeah. You
know, I think it could go either way, but for me, I'm going the Bulldogs for this one.
Yeah. What do you say, with champ?
Yeah, I'm pretty similar. I think the good part with the Eels is they move the ball a little bit. I think, you know, to beat the Bulldogs' good defensive systems, you have to move the ball and look to offload. That's what makes the game interesting. You know, if they just want to play a bash and barge against the Doggies, you'll really struggle. So it's sort of a mix of two different teams, you know. One sort of likes to play that, you know, consistent, get your completed sets, kick the corners, where Parramatta will chance their arm and they will test the Doggies out wide.
Yeah, well, you guys enjoy the footy. I won't be here to watch. I'm away. You're going to have to go on with me for the next few weeks without me.
Yeah.
I've got a big trip to America coming up.
Well, they call you Mr. Worldwide, right? So where are you going, Dino?
I'm going to Nashville, country music trip of a lifetime. I'm going to see all the country singers, going to New York. I'm going to Washington. I'm going up to watch Chris Stapleton in Toronto at Niagara Falls and Morgan Wallen in Houston. So don't miss me too much. I know you guys will do a fantastic job here without me, but I'll be enjoying my country music. I'll have my cowboy hat on, my boots.
Have a good time, brother.
Keep an eye out for the stories and the posts.